ourselves. We fail. Each and every one of us, myself included. But there's only one person who's ever lived on this earth who is true God and true man, who has ever obeyed the law perfectly. And for those who trust in him, he has obeyed the law in your place. And for those who trust in him, the law will now declare you righteous, not because of you, but because of Christ. You've been brought into relationship with Christ. And no longer seeing the filth of your sin, the Lord looks down upon you because of faith in Christ and will delight in you because of him. As God the Father said of God the Son, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God the Father delights in God the Son. But for the lawbreaker, for the person in rebellion against him, and as he is a righteous God, what do you deserve? What do I deserve because of my sin? The wrath of Almighty God. Nothing less than the wrath of God. People may ask, why is hell for eternity? Because your sin is against the one of infinite value, the source of all truth, the source of all life. And the severity of the sin is based upon, it is against God. In Psalm 51 verse 4 it says this, "Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this in thy sight." All sin is against God primarily. The Bible also tells us that no one speaks good. No one speaks good. Verses 13 and 14, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood." In verse 14 it says, "Their throat is an open sepulcher," that's an open grave. "With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips." Immediately our minds may go to the worst in our society. We may think of those in prisons. We may think of those involved in violent paramilitaries. We may think of politicians. But unless we've been born again, it also describes you. Unless you've been born again of the Spirit of God, this describes you. And our tongues will be used to destruction. And often it can be used as well to even harm the most innocent among us, the unborn child. The unborn child who's never harmed you or its mother. But because of inconvenience, because of our idolatrous view of human autonomy and freedom, we are willing to sacrifice a baby on that altar. And it doesn't matter what gets in our way, we are willing to kill it. That's a damning indictment on our generation. Not just of this nation, but nations across the world. And how is God to treat a nation that does not speak good and uses its tongues in rebellion against him? How can we expect blessing? And it's in this context, how can we expect anything but the wrath of God? When we look around us, we have a land full of chaos with COVID-19 and other things. Is it possible that the Lord is pouring out his wrath upon these nations, upon these islands, which has turned its back from him? And if not, why not? Why do we deserve anything but his wrath? It also tells us in the Word of God that none seeks peace. Verses 15, 16 and 17 of Romans 3. "Their feet are swift to shed blood." Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. And this is speaking about everybody, regardless of your background or what family you've been raised in or church you've been baptized into. Unless you've been born again, we all suffer from this condition. We're all in Adam. But until we place our trust and our hope in Jesus Christ, then our allegiances change. We will still be sinners. I will freely admit, I am not perfect. I'm far from it. I make mistakes in many areas. But I praise God that none of that counts against me toward my justification. God can say just, holy, and righteous purely because of the work of Christ. Purely because of the Lord's covenant mercies to his people.
Amen.
But the sad thing is, the human condition, while we have human dignity, does not seek after peace. It doesn't want it. It is swift to shed blood. And we see this today. How many thousands of unborn children have been murdered since the law has changed in this province? Are not those feet swift to shed blood? I dare say, if the same numbers, what would happen in our land if the same numbers that have died at the hands of an abortionist had died at the hands of COVID-19, what would happen? Why are their lives worth so little? Sadly, our feet in this land are swift to shed blood. And what has come? Destruction and misery. Destruction and misery. And we can think no further than women have taken the lives of their own unborn children. How many of them have regretted it? How many of them have destruction and misery at their hand? And how many abortion doctors have changed their mind and saw that they were taking the life of an unborn child? Destruction, misery, death, despair is Jesus' name. The way of peace they have not known. It makes no sense. This way of peace is peace that's offered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and through his blood, it's offered unto all. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If your sin is weighing heavy upon you this day, if it is burdening you, if it is something that grows and grows as you learn about your sin, there is sweet relief, there is joy, there is peace in Christ. That burden of your sins can be removed in Christ. Remove that burden in our ways. You may seek to remove that burden with drink and drugs and alcohol. But that heaviness keeps coming because you've been placed, because you've been created in the image of Almighty God. You know, each and every one of us know, we have broken God's law. When we suppress the truth and unrighteousness, we hold it down, we hold it back. We suppress that life. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19 tells us. So everywhere we look around, we see the Creator's hand. And even within ourselves, we know we've been created to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But we don't want to do that. The way of peace makes no sense to us unless we've been born again. And that's the only reason we're here today, friends. The only reason we're here today is the Lord took pity on me. The Lord took pity on all these people standing here before you. And we pray that the Lord will take pity on you. That you would repent of your sin and trust in Christ before it is too late. Every single one of us will die one day. mask or no mask, social distancing or no social distancing, every single one of us will die. It's an absolute certainty that you will stand before a righteous and holy God one day. And the question is, when you're on this earth, did you know the way of peace? And when you stand before God, will you stand naked with your own deeds, with your own works, with your own lawlessness? Or will you stand before Him clothed in royal robes, gloriously attired with the perfect, finished righteousness of Christ covering your nakedness before Him? They are the only two possibilities. You may say today, I'm a good person. But there is none good, no, not one.
Amen.
If you have any desire to seek after God, it comes from God alone. And that is the human condition. The Word of God also tells us that there is no one that has a fear of God. There's no one that has the fear of God. Plenty have the fear of man. Plenty have the fear of man. We all want to be respected. We all want to be loved, especially in certain circles, as much as we may claim otherwise. But either we have a fear of man or a fear of God. And we are created as worshiping creatures. Either we worship the triune God, the creator of heaven and earth, or we will worship either ourselves, our autonomous freedoms, or we will worship something created rather than the Creator Himself. Verse 18 of Romans 3, there is no fear of God before their eyes. There's no fear of God. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. And every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And this is speaking in terms of the Jews and the Gentiles of the first century. Basically, it's this. Some of us have grown under and studied under the law of God, the truth of the Ten Commandments, and some of you have never. But all the world is guilty. Every single one before God. Every single one. All of us have broken the Ten Commandments, every single one of them. And if we've broken the law at one point, because of the connection between all of the law, we have broken it in totality. And what does God do? If He's a righteous, a holy and just King, a judge, what should He do with lawbreakers? Should He let them free? The law doesn't matter? And we would want that, wouldn't we? Man, because of his condition, does not want a righteous and holy God. Man, because of his condition, wants an unjust and unfair God, a God who will set aside the law just for you. But God is just. He can never change. God is holy. That can never change. By definition, because God is unchangeable. We are changeable. We grow old. We perish. But God never changes. The Bible tells us Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. Never changes in His divine nature. But we need to have a fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And without the fear of God, we are spiritually but fools before Him, blinded, without understanding, not knowing, not understanding, not wanting the way of peace. And there is peace offered this day. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. And the Lord is saying to you, rebels. Come to him. Seek peace in him. Seek refuge in him. That Jesus Christ may be your advocate, your lawyer, your representative before God. Based upon his merits and his alone, you may have been involved in encouraging somebody to have an abortion, or you may have had one yourself, but there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ, regardless of your crimes, no matter Amen. What they may be. We come here today not to pray in a pharisaical way to say, look how much better we are. We come today to say there is a solution for your sin. There is a God and man, Jesus Christ, true God, true man, who took our sin. For all those who believe in him, he died in your place if you will trust in him, so that you can have everlasting life. The creator of heaven and earth, the infinite God, took upon himself human flesh, the form of a servant, humbled himself even unto death, and death on the cross. How much more do we want? How much more do we need from this God, this King of kings and the Lord of lords? But although he died to set sinners like you and like me free, sadly many will turn up their nose at him and think they are too good for him, this King of kings and Lord of lords. But there will come a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And either you will submit to him this side of eternity by the grace of Almighty God, or you will be made to bow in eternity. Verse 20 in Romans 3 says this: therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Which basically says this: by the law, by the deeds of the law, even though the law itself is righteous and holy, none can keep it. None. Even the most noble thing you've ever done is tainted with sin. In some way it's self-serving. In some way it dishonors God. In the book of Isaiah it says this: our righteous deeds are but filthy rags. Filthy rags. Just shall live by faith.
Amen.
And you must be just before him. The standard of the law is this: you must keep the law in every single point. Not just that you've sinned, but how far are we from keeping the law of God? How far are any of us from keeping the law of God perfectly? If we are honest with ourselves, we'll see we are dead in trespasses and sins. And if we are honest with ourselves, we'll see we are in desperate need of a Savior. Our soul clings to the dust. I pray that the Spirit of God is working in your heart if you do not know him, and that you will not have a moment's peace until you bow the knee to Christ. Because in eternity, friends, there will be no peace. There is no peace for the wicked. There is no peace for the ones who are outside of Christ. There is only peace found in Jesus Christ. And when we pray, then we also pray that you'll change your mind toward abortion. Far more important than that is that our nation, you, your family, this community, turns from its sin and trusts in Jesus Christ and worships Him and glorifies Him and looks forward to that day when they'll spend an eternity with Him, glorifying Him, worshiping Him for all eternity. And that might not seem appealing to some of you. If I put before you, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? Not many people would say they want to go to hell. Sadly, we have a warped view of heaven. And heaven is where we worship God for all eternity, where there is no sin, no suffering. But unless you've been born again, that sounds horrible. Heaven is because Christ is there. And unless you love Him, you do not want to go to the heaven of Scriptures. Come to Him. Seek Him. Trust Him. And may He be a refuge that you do not come under the wrath of an almighty and holy God. Amen.
Amen.
That was good.
Yeah.